stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over.
That's what I call hitting season.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 490. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we are less than a week away from the trade deadline, just a few days away before we find out whether or not the Phillies are going all in on this 2021 season, or whether they're just going to kind of go, yeah, I guess we'll play, and or whether or not they just turn into outright sellers, which I don't think anybody believes is going to happen. But hey, there's a four-game series against the Nationals this week in which they could absolutely go in the tank and lose all four, and then all bets are off, friends. So we've got an interesting week of baseball coming up here to talk about as far as what the Phillies are going to do for the rest of the season. Joining me to talk about it are my good buddies Justin Clue and Chris Jones. Justin, of course, you know, well, both of the guys, as you know, from the fantastic Patreon podcast that we do called Absolutely Hammered. Go to patreon.com/hittinseason and sign up on one of the tiers there to get access to that fantastic podcast. But Justin, you read on Baseball Prospectus, you hear him on The Dirty Inning and Continued Success. Follow him on Twitter at Justin_Clue. What's up, pal?
You know, JT Realmuto hit a ball down the first base line, and there was a moment where Josh Bell of the Nationals could either tag him or the base, and I was just like, is it a personal insult to tag the runner in that case rather than tag the base? But Realmuto being, like, you know, not quite a fully decimated veteran catcher yet was like, oh no, I'll just throw it into the next gear, and actually outran him to the base. So he should have tagged him with the ball, and yeah, I don't know. This wasn't a story with any point. It was just kind of like, oh, man, that's a fun thing to happen against the Nationals specifically. And also in that moment, just to see, that felt like a very Phillies moment, but it happened to the other team. And I don't know. I was very encouraged by that. I like when things like that happen to the Nationals where they can't baby their team by being like, well, they will try out his bet. Nope, he just kind of screwed up. They just kind of didn't do the thing he should have done. Yeah, wrong baseball.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, I mean, it sounds like this game, we are recording as the Phillies are beginning their four-game series against the Nationals, so you may hear us refer to varying goings-on as this game goes along. Chris Jones joining us, of course. And Chris, I know you have a complicated relationship with Twitter. Where are you on that platform right now? How are you, buddy?
I guess we're okay so far. It's just a matter of time. It really is. I've been saying that for a year now, though, so maybe they just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, let bygones be bygones. So let the @AH_pod, folks, for the Absolutely Hammered podcast Twitter feed there, @AH_pod. Yeah, and as we're talking here, Chris, I know the Phillies had a threat going in the first inning, and Rhys Hoskins hit what should have been a sacrifice fly, but Gene Segura is thrown out at home. And this is just kind of, you know, not a good start to an important four-game series. Yet again, the most important series of the Phillies season.
One of these days, we're going to have to rank all of the series, all the weekends, all of the weeks, all the road trips that were listed as the most crucial,
the most important
part of the Phillies season. Mm-hmm. Because there's been a couple. Mm-hmm. There's been at least, yep. I'm going to say there's been like five times where someone.
Let's hope we keep having them, to be honest.
But I'll say, you know, four games against the Nationals, starting with Dollar Dog Night. One of the most important nights of the year. And, you know, photographs from the ballpark are telling us the dogs are moist. And, just looking pretty soggy and easily indented by human hands as they're handled. Mm-hmm. Not what you want. Mm-hmm. Not what you want from Dollar Dog. Your expectation shouldn't be that high for a hot dog that costs a dollar. But, you know, it doesn't mean we got to scrape bottom of the barrel, guys. Come on.
No, I agree with your position on Dollar Dog Night, and I think we can do better as a society. I really do, and you know, it's just it mirrors the baseball team right now is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. There's a direct parallel to that. So, all right, Chris, let's start with you. Oh, and by the way, normally Liz Rocher is joining us, but it is Liz's birthday celebration, and she's also covering the Olympics for Yahoo Sports, so we will miss Liz dearly on this episode of the podcast. But she is alive and well. Not watching Phillies baseball tonight. Doing something.
So she's very well then.
She's very well. Yeah. So, listen, the Phillies split a four-game series with the Braves over the weekend, and as they get ready for this four-game series against the Nationals, the 10-4 July that we were all feeling really good about is kind of in the rearview mirror. The pitching staff is in shambles. Vince Velasquez will continue to make regular starts. Zach Eflin, they were hoping to get him back this weekend, but they're going to have to push him back because his knee still isn't doing well. So Dave Dombrowski has a lot of decisions to make here, Chris, but just before we get into all of the trade deadline stuff, want a temperature check. How are we feeling about this baseball team after starting off the unofficial second half of the season 2-4?
I mean, like, if we look in a vacuum, like, just baseball wise, then I'm just feeling nothing, kind of like a 500 record's gonna give you. It's so back and forth constantly, just, you know, win two in a row, lose two in a row, win three, lose four. It's gotten so deflating, and you just feel defeated. Anytime you're feeling good about this team and you want to buy in a little bit, they remind you who they are. Yep. But then if you take it out of that vacuum, it's a little bit worse with everything else going on. You know, like, if this team were winning, you might push some things to the side a little bit. Maybe not even this topic, but they aren't winning on top of all of that stuff going on. So it's been pretty frustrating. Hanging in there. Trying.
Wow. So gentlemanly when you're not on the Patreon podcast.
I have a post-it.
Who's this young man? I wonder.
It says, don't curse, okay? Don't curse. Give okay opinion. Mm. That's the post-it.
Well, you certainly did that.
That's motivating.
Well done.
I bring a different type of energy to this one, all right?
But it's good. But I still feel the energy, and I know Justin feels the energy. And where are you at on them right now as we get ready for this Nats series?
This is a 500 team. It will be, and it, you know, maybe that's enough. Maybe this team wins, let's say, like 6 of 7 to close out the season, and somehow that's enough in this division. That's what's so funny about this position they're in to me, is that they aren't good. They may not even be the best Phillies team of the last, like, 3 years. But they have the best chance to win the NL East of any team in the last 3 years. That's why it cracks me up that, like, the Phillies are, oh, we don't want to go over the threshold unless we have to, or unless the situation presents itself. And I don't think they want this to be the team they go over the threshold for, but it almost has to be, because they've never had a better chance to be a playoff team. So it cracks me up to think of them adding someone who's, like, a mid-level ad who is the difference for a team that's better than the Phillies, but they're kidding themselves if they think they are that team. Like, they're a team that needs more than that. And I'm very anxious to see what happens, because something is going to happen. It might be nothing. It might be what Matt Gelb has been preparing us for and saying, like, a Vargas level kind of acquisition. Maybe it's not, but I'll be entertained either way, because this team, I'm not sure this team really deserves a huge get. Like, maybe that makes them better, but they're in a deep enough hole that it doesn't feel like going, you know, being super aggressive is going to help them. That being said, I want to see this team be super aggressive, because I guess it's just like the chaotic nature of my fandom at this point. Like, I want to see what happens when they become interesting, because they haven't been very interesting this season. I'm ready to see what happens if they try to be.
I think there is an argument to be made that this Phillies team should be, like, super aggressive here.
Sure.
Like, because, all right, so here in past years, the Phillies had kind of resigned themselves, or at least in the last couple of years, like, well, they're going for a wild card. Well, we don't want to go over the luxury tax for a wild card. We don't want to get knocked out of a one-game playoff. And there's no wild card this year. It's division or bust. And you've got a Mets team that is just as flawed as the Phillies are. They've been slightly more consistent than the Phillies. But, again, we've talked about the schedules, and you watch this Phillies team struggle against losing teams. Probably throw the schedules right out the window, but you've got an opportunity to win the National League East, and it is sitting right there in front of them. They've been within 3 or 4 games the entire season. Sometimes they creep up to about 2 games, and then they take a bunch of steps back. You're right, this is a 500 team exactly as we see it right now, which makes you wonder if they do add, and maybe they add 2 or 3 pieces, and this is, again, something I don't think any of us should expect, but you wonder if they do add 2 or 3 pieces, like, say they go out and they get you know, let's just throw like Byron Buxton and Jose Berrios from the Twins, just as an example or something like that. Probably not going to happen, but those are two guys whose names are floating out there. Let's see, or where they add, maybe they find a way to get Max Scherzer into this pitching rotation to help out the starting rotation. Or let's say they go out and they get Bryant and Kimbrel and maybe get somebody else. Like there's a way to upgrade this team, I think, so that people keep telling me, you don't go all in on 2021. You don't go all in on 2021. When are you going to go all in with this group of players?
Exactly.
Because you've got Bryce Harper in his prime. You've got JT Realmuto in his prime. You've got Zach Wheeler having the best season he's ever going to have. Let's make this very clear to everyone listening. Zach Wheeler, like Aaron Nola in 2018, will never have a season as good as this one. So take advantage of this Zach Wheeler season. Aaron Nola is in his prime, and who knows what we get from Aaron Nola the rest of the way, but you've seen what he can do. Gene Segura is has been the best player on the team. Even Andrew McCutchen's going to hit 30 homers this year, as flawed a player as he is. So, like, what are you waiting for? Next season might be blown out because of a strike. You invested all of this money in these players who are in their primes right now. What are we building for 2023? We want to hold off until 22 or 23 when Harper is closer to 30 and Realmuto's further into his early 30s? Now's the time to do it. I know it doesn't feel like it because of the way this team plays, but this is, if they're going to do it, if they're actually going to try and make a push with this investment, you have a chance to win the division and get yourself into at least a five-game series where anything can happen, as we saw back in 2011. Now's the time to do it, if you're Dave Dombrowski. Now's the time to go over the luxury tax.
It's what you're here for, if you're Dave Dombrowski. And I know we've kind of hinted at the idea that this might be a kind of observational year, but you're absolutely right that this is this as ridiculous as it seems. This is your shot. Like, this is it. The NL East, you know, it'll shift again next year, and some teams will have better luck next year, and there's some great players who won't be as hurt next year. This is a window. This is a tiny little window. And yeah, this team isn't very likable, and it isn't very good. But you can improve it at this deadline, and you can probably win the NL East. I think there are some improvements you can make before the trade deadline to be a playoff team, to be the team that wins the NL East. And you're right, John. For the Phillies to be a playoff team, they got to win the division. They have to.
And what else does Dombrowski have to see, too? Like, you had half a season.
Oh, yeah,
to
what are you looking
this
at?
Team is, as, this team is as advertised. There's nothing else to, you know, to figure out. This is the year to do it, because last year was also the year to do it, kind of. 2019 could have done it that year, too. But, you know, if you're going to do it, you just have to do it now, because you realize that all this talent on the field, talent and, you know, air quotes, is getting you nowhere. So not only should they, like, I understand that I need to temper expectations, but they really need to just go big and hope that they get, again, it's like you said, it's a five-game series they're going into. It's not going to be a one-game wild card. Then I'm like, oh, well, Jesus, just for a one-game wild card, like, then you're really getting into the anything can happen territory. But when you have a five-game series, like, you're guaranteed, you know, your shot to win a five-game series, just do it. Just who cares about the luxury tax? Just stop it. It's not an excuse
anymore.
I
mean, the Phillies can afford what they choose to be able to afford. Like, we all know that. So, you know, if you're considering going over the luxury tax, understand that that's, you know, that's not $1 million over. It's you know, this $20 million or whatever to the next, like, bracket, to the next punishment. You know,
you got some wiggle room.
You can do that. Yeah. And that's what, and by the way, I don't think you have to tell people to temper expectations at this point, Chris. I think everybody's, I don't know anybody, even the most positive Phillies fans who are out there like, no, things are going to get way better. Don't worry.
No, I meant as far as who they're going to even go after. Like, because there's a lot of stuff out there that is just complete crap that writers are throwing out because everybody wants to put the Phillies name on everything. But you have to temper your expectations, as in, like you said, Gelb is, you know, well, probably Jason Vargas. It's just ridiculous to me. It's so stupid. I can't.
Which is crazy. You want to see more dramatic things coming from the more legitimate sources of Phillies potential trade news, because John is right. Because this is, you know, you want the team to, if they just have another lukewarm moving pieces around kind of deadline, then you're like, all right, so this team isn't interested in winning. They're not. Yeah. And I mean, is that not the most damning thing a team can be labeled, that they're a team that just does not care about winning? And I know you could probably make that argument for almost every team in Major League Baseball, but at a certain point it becomes transparent. And that's what I think, being as tepid at the trade deadline as we're describing, I think that's what that would do. Like, how do you not, if the Phillies come out of the, if the, you know, the timeline passes and the Phillies have not made anything, made any aggressive moves, then how can you not say, oh, well, they just gave up on 2021. Like Chris, you were saying, what else does Dombrowski need to see? This team has defined itself. If you can't define a team through over one half of a season, how else are you going to define it? I mean, you know, a season's only so long.
This team is a $206 million team right now. They've been a close to $200 million roster for the last 2 years before this and haven't made the playoffs in any of those seasons. Isn't that worse than going over the luxury tax and taking a shot and
right.
missing?
You put a bunch of money into this team. It wound up a 500 team. We talk a lot about trust and what you can rely on with this Phillies team. You know what you can rely on? You can rely on this team to be a 500 team. If you think about that, you know, less as a negative, you think, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Let's build off this. We know we have a 500 team. That's not the worst team in the league. Let's make some major additions here. And let's be better than 500, and that, you know, that'll probably be a good enough team to win the NL East. And guess what? If you don't, you're either a rich loser or a slightly less rich winner. How is that even a choice?
Yeah, the other thing too is I think this team needs a shakeup. I wrote something for the Good Fight over the weekend after the 15-3 Braves loss, because I mean, you just, we've talked about it on this podcast before. There's something missing with this team. It literally is. It's the same team over and over again every year. And in a lot of the same cases, it's the same players. You know, a lot of this core has been here for the last 3 years. I'm talking specifically about Harper and Real Muto and Nola and Hoskins and, you know, McCutcheon and Segura. You know, there's a couple guys have been here. Only Wheeler's been here just 2 years. But for the most part, it's the same guys. The bullpen's all totally different. And yet it's still the same guys. But, you know, this is a culture now. This Phillies team just feels like a $206 million 500 culture. It is a culture that cannot sustain prosperity in any way, shape, or form. And so, if you go out and you bring somebody in, I want to bring somebody in who's won something before. I'm reminded of, and I remember watching, I think it was the 1997 Marlins World Series yearbook, or there was some kind of MLB network thing about Darren Dalton. When Darren Dalton was traded from the Phillies over to the Marlins, he went to a team that was, you know, doing pretty good. I think they were maybe like 5 or 10 games over 500, but just kind of coasting, you know. And Dalton went in there like the first day and was like, "You guys are country club. You guys don't. We can tell from the other clubhouse. You guys don't really care. You guys really don't want it." And he lit a fire under them. And to a man, they all say they won the World Series that year because Darren Dalton joined that baseball team. Now, Dalton doesn't have the kind of impact that somebody like Chris Bryant would, or Kimbrel, or Max Scherzer, players that have won championships before. But that could be a way to shake up this team, bringing somebody in from another team that's won something and that will actually open his mouth and chastise teammates when they need to be chastised. The other is, I would not be at all upset to move out a player or two from this core, as long as it's like a star swap kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Even if it doesn't necessarily affect you with wins above replacement on paper necessarily, it almost feels like there just needs to be a chemistry change in the way this team is operating. So I don't know what that looks like, but there's something's got to change with this team, because if they keep going along like this, we've seen what's going to happen. We've seen they're going to go 10-4, and Justin, like you said, they're going to win 2, lose 3, win 3, lose 2, win 2, win, lose 4, win 4. That's what they do.
Right, like put somebody at third who's not going to let the ball go straight through their glove like Swiss cheese, and just see what happens to your 500 ball club. You know, just improve in one area. And also, just to go off what you were saying, John, Darren Dalton ruled. That's so cool. That's like, yeah, he didn't have to impact them on the field. If he went in there and said, "You guys are country club," what a sick own. That's awesome.
Like the first day.
That would get to me. Yeah, that's awesome. And then, like you said, they credit him for their success. So that's yeah, that would be a great, and it's really funny to think that the Phillies could go out there and get some like We need somebody who knows how to win. Let's acquire some Chicago Cubs. They'll teach this Phillies team how to win. But we're just at that point in baseball history where, yeah, that's the case.
That's right.
So, they did win. Well, I mean, hey, if you get Kimbrel too, he's won, right? He won with Boston.
Yeah. We just won a Cub. Yeah, he won with Boston, exactly.
There you go. I say we get wild with it. Let's just call up the Cubs and mash teams up. See what happens. They can have Reese. We'll take Rizzo. Screw it. I don't like that trade at all. But, you know, then we get Kimbrel and Bryant. Give us, who is it, Tapera and Chaffin? I don't know how to say it. Let's take them too. Give them a bunch of crap. See how it goes. I don't care anymore.
I honestly, like, your core is that's there's so much importance applied to that term. But when your core hasn't won anything, then what's the point? What's the point of having the same guys?
It's a rotten core. Yeah.
What's the point of having the same five guys leading your team when your team hasn't won anything? This team has nothing to brag about in the past.
Are you saying it's a rotten core?
That's what worms have
like chewed. There's plenty. There's talent there. We've seen flat. Oh, we get, you know, that Rhys Hoskins streak. You know, we get that great Aaron Nola start. We just got a great Aaron Nola start. But what was the first thing we said to each other in the Slack? Well, see you in 3 to 4 starts. Great Aaron Nola. Like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter anymore. Great, these guys have been here for a while, but they haven't accomplished anything. So, yeah, swap just one of them out. See what happens. Because, this, like we said, this is a 500 team. That is not the worst foundation to build off of. And they have stayed 500 through the season thus far, like about 500. I think Larry Shanks said the other day that they've never been below 4 games under 500, and they've never been above 4 mm-hmm. games over 500. So they are right around insane. That point all the time.
That could be a fake stat, and I would
make one change, make a significant change, be aggressive. And John, when you were talking about being aggressive, I forgot for a second you meant like at the trade deadline. You know, I want to see this team be more aggressive in general, just when it's playing on the field. Yeah. You know, like that. Take a few more chances. Make the other team play. Make the other team beat you. It feels like, you know, in the chess match that is baseball, all the Phillies are doing are just mirroring the other team's moves, you know, and it just results in a very uninteresting and half the time a loss. You know, I just started, I've been playing softball for the first time since 2019 because of COVID, and, you know, I play on this team where there's a bunch of guys who are even older than me, and one of them in the first game we had back just, like, was being super aggressive on the base paths. This is a guy who gets hurt, like, all the time, and he ignores a stop sign at third base and just goes into a slide at home on a close play. And when I say slide, I'm being very generous. This man basically threw his entire spine into another person in some sort of mid-air roll kind of move and definitely hurt himself and was definitely out and was called out. But we were like, yeah, that was the right choice. Like, we're not like the best team in the league. We got to score whenever we can. You know, being aggressive is fun. And you know, when you screw up and it means an out, you know, you get criticized for that. But I feel like this team is in the perfect position to start being more aggressive and just to start being one of those teams that takes those chances, because what do you have to lose? You have nowhere to fall from because you've never gained anything. So just, you know, start taking a lot more chances, both in acquiring more players to play for this team and just like on the base paths, on defense, on offense. Just like be a more aggressive and interesting team. Make the other team get you out.
And buy into the easy schedule thing if you have to. If that's what it takes.
That's part of it, yeah.
Doing the mindset. Like, you know, because I don't easy.
Got four games against the Nationals here. They are far from the best that the National League has to offer.
They stink.
You know?
They stink.
8 against the Pirates.
Just keep punching them. They can't block every punch. They simply cannot. They are not built for it. Statistically, they haven't. They don't have enough talent for it. Just start hitting them.
Yeah.
The Phillies are punching like you punch when you're having a dream. You're trying to punch and you just can't for some reason. You're trying so hard to punch in the dream, but you can't. Yeah. That's what it feels like the Phillies are throwing out there.
You know, I think Joe Girardi talked a little bit about it on the MLB Network MLB Radio Network today about I think the Phillies are third in the National League in steals. It doesn't feel that way.
What I mean? You're right. But
Bryce Harper stole 5 bases in the game the other night. We see that from him every once in a while where he goes kamikaze. But I don't know that we see it enough, you know, like, I mean, because you just see him, like, he decides for a game, like, I'm just going to take over. I'm just going to take over. I'm going to do whatever I think I need to do. And I think more players, he can't do it all himself. He can't do that every single night himself. He's going to die if he tries to do that. So some of the other guys on that team, it's too cool. Everybody's just too cool out there. You know, even Real Muto, even Hoskins, who I think are gritty ball players, you know, they don't there's not a lot of emotion, there's not a lot of grit going on there. I mean, it's I don't know. You're absolutely right.
Bryce doesn't even steal a lot of bases this year. He really hasn't. But in that one game against Atlanta, he stole three bases. You're right. And I think Bryce is the kind of player who's kind of, at this point, he's just sort of waiting to be unlocked. Like, we know what Bryce can offer. You know, yeah, it's not like elite level talent in the National League, but he's one of the best players in the National League. His output is, you know, well worth having on your roster. But I think he needs someone else there to be like, hey, what's up? I'm new. Let's win. Like, let's win. Let's be excited. And, John, you brought this up earlier in the season. They need that Jimmy Rollins kind of attitude of just like, instead of standing around going, are we good? Someone is like, yeah, no, we're good. And just get somebody else in there who can get Bryce Harper excited about baseball again. Because you'd be perfectly understanding of him being like, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of lost interest. Because the rest of the this team is not good. It's not great to like. It's not very easy to get excited about this team. And you know he has, I don't want to say he has like more to offer that he's not giving. But on a day to day basis, on a team like this, on a dead season like this, another 500 season like this, a guy in Bryce Harper's position is sitting there thinking like, well, crap. I left Washington. They immediately won the World Series. I have proven nothing since getting here because this team hasn't accomplished anything. So, you know, he needs more people there who can match the enthusiasm that I think is, you know, under the surface somewhere. Like, he wants to be able to do, like we were saying, he wants to be able to take over the game more, I think. He doesn't have enough people there who are supplementing that desire.
Mm-hmm. Well, Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the folks on the Phillies who maybe we would not want to move, and I want to talk about Zach Wheeler's Cy Young chances, and some news about Max Scherzer. Wanted to pass along. So we'll jump into all that kind of stuff coming up next here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So this from Jesse Dougherty, who is a writer for, I guess, the Washington Post, I think. He covers the Nationals for the Post. Looks like that Max Scherzer is willing to waive his 10-5 rights for a potential trade. He's open to being traded at this point. So there's a bunch of different stuff with Max Scherzer. He can veto any trade that he wants because he's a 10-5 guy. He is being paid $35 million this year. I didn't realize this, even though he's a pending free agent after the season, he's owed more than $100 million in deferred money through 2028. So John Middleton will be paying him if they were to trade for him, unless the Nationals pick up some of that $100 million without him actually pitching for him. So I don't know if I see that happening. But Max Scherzer in a Phillies uniform, I love the idea of it. What kind of a trade do you think the Phillies would have to make in order to make that happen, Chris? Do you think they'd have to give up one of their top guys? I mean, I know the farm system isn't awesome, but could they get away with trading away something like a Franklin who am I thinking of?
Morales.
Morales, thank you. I was like,
Ramirez. They already traded Franklin. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's right. But like a Jalen Ortiz or something, or would they need to give up something more significant than that?
The problem here, I think, because I thought about this actually, I think it would be funny because I think the starting point, if you're Washington, is Mick Abel, and then somebody else can come in with something not as good as Mick Abel because we're not going to give him up for, you know, half a season of Scherzer, or shouldn't. Please don't let them do that.
No.
But, you know, but from it's such a drop off from Mick Abel to whatever else we could offer them that some other team could easily beat it. And I feel like they're going to take it even if it's close because it's out of division. And I'm sure Bryce Harper still stings a little bit, even though they won the World Series. I think they'd be a little bit petty about it, to be honest. I think he has a better chance of going to the Mets than he does the Phillies, which sucks.
Justin.
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
What do you think it would take to get Max Scherzer in Philadelphia? And is that something you'd want?
It would take a lot. It's the kind of trade that like I wouldn't want to read all the speculation about it. I would just kind of want to wake up and him be on the team. I know there's people who are going to value the prospects who would get moved in that trade more than I would. So I wouldn't even trust my own judgment there. But I'm with Chris that I think the Nationals would be the most difficult team for the Phillies to make a trade with because they have, I mean, this, I'm being honest here this time. Like I I joke a lot about how much the Nationals are like a baby team and they have this weird complex about the Phillies, but there's some aspects of truth to that. And if you're coming down to like an actual baseball level, I think they would be very reluctant to make a deal with the Phillies that would make the Phillies, you know, better. That would trade a significant player from the Nationals, even if he's like, okay, I'm ready to be out of here. I'm ready to waive my rights. Like, let's move this along. I just don't think, I think they'd be one of the more difficult teams to make a trade with. So the Phillies would probably end up having to give up more than they typically would if that trade was happening with another team. That being said, if we're saying the team needs to get more aggressive, that might be exactly what we're talking about. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, the Phillies don't have a lot of top-tier prospects. They have a lot of mid-range prospects. And if you have a lot of any kind of prospect, and that's what a team's willing to take to make a trade, seems okay to me. I don't know. You know, like, that seems like an okay trade to make.
Well, the last time we did business with the Nationals, the player we sent over there choked their star, correct?
Right. And
there has not been any business dealings between the two since then. So that could also still be, you know, a sour taste that they got in their mouth. So, yeah, you know.
I guess they haven't made any trades since then. I'm trying to think, but yeah, I guess they haven't done a whole lot of business with each other since then. Well, are there any players on this Phillies roster? I'm talking not minor leaguers, but on this 26-man roster, the core, are there any players you would not trade right now?
I was thinking about that question earlier, and, you know, with Harper, the easy out on that is like no one would take that deal on right now. But if we're saying like just it's not a question of whether or not a team would, it's whether or not.
Right.
Yeah. It's insane, but I'm just kind of like, no, like the first name that comes to mind is Real Muto. That's honestly the first name
that's what I was going to say. Cause the catching depth is
very thin. Catching talent is hard to maintain. And you know, they just re-signed him and they want him here. And I think I want him here too. But even there, it kind of just depends on the deal. But if you're thinking, like, who of these people would you absolutely 100% never, ever want to get rid of? I mean, John, you were even saying Zach Wheeler will never have a season like this again. So I'm typically not somebody who's like, this person is good. Time to say it's, you know, it's time to trade them for the contrarian points on Twitter. But that's not, you know, that's not the exercise we're doing here. I honestly, if it was about, I think when we talk about swapping out members of the core, swapping out like an entire core seems dramatic, and it seems like it would leave the Phillies pretty, you know, without any bullets, which kind of sucks. But if you were swapping out one or even two of these guys who we would consider the core, I don't know. I'm not instinctively against it. Like in principle, I'm not necessarily against it, and I don't think there's anybody we could talk about who I would be like, no, I'm too attached to him personally, or no, he's just too good. I don't know if there's anybody on the roster I can say that about.
No, that's where I'm at. I think if it was any one guy, it would be Real Muto. But I could even be talked into a Real Muto trade. I don't know what it would look like because it would have to be pretty amazing. But, you know, my heart isn't attached to Harper anymore. It's certainly not attached to Nola or Wheeler. And I like Wheeler. I think Wheeler's really good. But, you know, I just think, you know, we're seeing the best of what he's going
to
give us.
Right, and not to...
I hope I'm wrong.
Just to clarify, like a team with Harper, Real Muto, Wheeler on it can be added to... and be a great team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think...
Should be.
It should be. This. Yeah, that's what's frustrating about this team is it should be a better team.
Yeah, it should be good.
But, I'm just kind of like, well, we've given this a shot a couple of times. How many times do the people who are in the position to make changes, how many times do they need to see it? Because I've seen enough.
All right. So, if there was one player, and I don't mean just like, you know, pick somebody from somebody's roster, but of the players who are out and who are likely to be dealt at some point over these next few days, Chris, I'll start with you. Is there one player? Who is the one player that you would most like to see the Phillies go out and get?
I guess reasonably, like I'm just being reasonable, Starling Marte. I feel like he would just fit really well. It would take care of the center field problem. I know that doesn't fix the bullpen or the starting pitching, but at this point, I feel like both of those are what they are, and I'm terrified of getting somebody like Craig Kimbrel, who has a 0.50 ERA. I'm terrified of him coming here and not being good for the rest of the year, and then still ending the season with a 2.5 ERA and everything's fine because he had a good year, but he had the crappiest part of his year with us. I'm terrified of that happening because guess what? That happened with every pitcher we acquired last season. So it's terrifying to me. I kind of just want to beef up the offense at this point and hope the rest of them figure it out. Hope, you know, Spencer Howard, he's pitching well so far. He apparently doesn't really have too much of an innings limit anymore because he basically didn't pitch all season. Maybe he figures it out. Eflin comes back healthy. Nola figures it out. Wheeler does what he's doing. I don't know. I just really want Starling Marte. I think it would be great to not have a black hole in the offense.
This is the thing about these deals is that, and I just to go back to our like very first conversation on this episode, is this team doesn't feel good enough to be picking up rentals. That's the difference, I think, in that all these guys we're talking about, like all their deals are going to be up. That's why they're the names that are out there. And this team needs to be able to, if we're saying they should pick them up, they should be considering at least locking up like, you know, one or two of the guys they pick up in this scenario where they're being more aggressive, because they could use these guys not just now, but in the future, because they're still kind of not rebuilding, but kind of still building because things just didn't work out 100% for the rebuild. So somebody like Marte, who's 32 years old, you know, yeah, he's great for a team that is like a better version of this Phillies team that has a winning record, that's contending, but maybe not in the top spot. Like, he helps put you over the top. But that's not this team's position, in my mind. Not to refute you personally, Chris. It's just more that, like, somebody like...
He hates
somebody,
you.
Somebody, like, if the Phillies are able to swing a trade for, like, Byron Buxton and Jose Berrios, that, I feel like, makes the team better. And assuming, like, okay, then they work really hard to lock those players up in some capacity, at least one of them, because they have a need in center field, they have a need in their rotation, and the same thing goes for Bryant and even, you know, even Kimbrel to an extent. I'm with you though on that, Chris. Like, any bullpen moves this team makes at this point, I want to see them make like mid-range bullpen arm moves at most, because, you know, those guys can come here and be good. The more noise is made about a bullpen arm coming to the Phillies, the more I assume, oh, that guy's going to suck when he gets
here. I'm telling you, Daniel Bard is going to come to this team. I just feel it in my bones. It's going to happen.
Right, and that's my overall point here, is that the Phillies need more than just a present. They need a future. It sucks if we're sitting here saying, oh, yeah, this team that hasn't been good and hasn't found its way in the past few years while it's been trying to contend, you know, needs to just go all in now, and then we'll just see what the future offers. But I'm saying I want them to acquire somebody now who can help this year and in the years to come. And that's just where the Phillies are. So I look at more like Buxton and Berrios, Bryant and Kimbrel, like that kind of stuff, where it's just like guys who are going to be here now and tomorrow.
I agree there, but at the same time with Marte, I'm basically going off of he shouldn't cost you a lot. He should not cost you a lot. And if you get Marte, then I feel like you can still upgrade in the other areas, even though, again, I'm still scared for them to upgrade anywhere in the
bullpen. If they got Buxton and Berrios together, they got a great young starter who,
we assume Buxton stays healthy.
Yeah, and a center fielder of the future, which, by the way,
that you can re-sign him.
And
that's the thing. He's a free
agent.
That's
what I'm saying. And they managed to, like, lock them in. Then I'm not sure it matters who you've given up at that point. Like, that's two checked boxes. Like, yeah, maybe you're giving up core members, but you move Hoskins, Bohm goes to first. Like, it's not going to be hard to find replacement corner infielders to give out the same amount that the Phillies' current corner infielders have been putting out there. And, like, the same goes, like, for McCutchen. Like, we all love him, but, you know, when he's got to be replaced, it's not going to be hard to find somebody who can hit 240 and a bunch of home runs.
It could be Alec Bohm in left field, to be
right. So I feel like being able to check those boxes is going to be very valuable to this team moving forward.
Yeah, and I like the idea of Buxton, who's 27 right now. I mean, Buxton has not, up until these last couple of years, I mean, was a struggling young player. He's had a hard time staying healthy in his career. You know, he played 140 games in 2017. Outside of that, the most games he's ever played in a season is 92. So some of that is because he got shuttled up and down between the minors because he was struggling at the big league level. Now he seems like he's established himself as a really good big league player, but he's been hurt a little bit this year. But again, if you can sign him, yes, he gives you a number of years. Chris Bryant, again, if you can sign him, he's still, you know, he's not old. He's a guy who gives
He's got a hamstring issue right now. So I don't know. The injury thing doesn't hold a lot of water for me right now, because every player gets hurt. Like, yes, sometimes sure, you get a Roman Quinn who is hurt all the time. Yes. But I don't know if Buxton's at that point yet, but every player is going to be hurt. Like, you can't not acquire a guy because, oh, well, he got hurt. They're professional athletes. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Last thing before we finish up here on the podcast, Zach Wheeler, is he the Cy Young favorite right now, guys? He leads all players in the National League, pitchers and hitters in Baseball Reference, wins above replacement at 5.2. That's ahead of Fernando Tatis Jr., Jacob deGrom, and Wade Miley at 5.0. I don't know what Wade Miley's doing on this list. Makes me question Baseball References, wins above replacement. Wheeler is tied for the lead in FWAR among pitchers at 4.9 with deGrom and Corbin Burns both there. And, you know, I know that deGrom is kind of falling down. He's actually dropping out of a lot of these league leaders lists because he doesn't have enough innings to qualify because he's been hurt quite a bit. So I know DeGrom is the best pitcher in the National League and the best pitcher in baseball, but Chris right now is, I think I heard you say yes, is Zach Wheeler the NL Cy Young front runner?
Yes. I couldn't wait to answer you because I hate this argument. I think it's dumb that I understand DeGrom is having an otherworldly year, but he's not pitching a lot. And every other start, it's like, okay, well, is he going to go 5 or 6? And then, okay, he's hurt again. And it's some minor injury, and I feel like they're just trotting him back out there. And I think it's going to lead to something really terrible for them. And I don't wish injury on anybody, but how they're handling DeGrom seems weird to me. Literally, it's like every other start, they're like, okay, we got to shut him down. And then he starts throwing again. Oh, no, we got to delay it a couple days, but he'll be back out there in like a couple days. It'll be fine. And they keep trotting him back out there, and I'm just like, something's going to happen, and it's not going to be good. But that's regardless of the argument. I still think Wheeler, with pitching more innings and like everything you said, I think it's clear-cut that he is in the lead.
Yeah, right, Zach Wheeler's having a real season. Jacob DeGrom's got great numbers, but if you're hurt a significant amount of time, then, yeah, I think you eventually get disqualified. I mean, guys, Jacob DeGrom can take a year off from Cy Young contention. He's won 2 Cy Youngs already, finished third in 2020. He can take a year off. He'll come back and he'll be, the Cy Young winner again. It's Jacob DeGrom. It's not taking anything away from him to admit, hey, guess what? He ran into some health troubles this year. He didn't get to make enough starts. And honestly, just looking at the numbers, that makes Zach Wheeler's performance this year that much more impressive. You know, that's just how it went. So I don't think that's unfair at all. And I guess this is more to the point I was making in the last question we were addressing, but I'm just going to go ahead and go back and address that anyway. The Phillies made a point to acquire healthy people, people who had never experienced real health issues, guys who stayed on the field, 2 years ago? Mm. How'd that work out? Yeah, like non-contact injuries come and find you when you're in your 30s, regardless of how your history has been. So it's not a great thing to prioritize as far as like acquisitions go. It makes sense, but it's not something you can hang your hat on. Look at Jacob DeGrom. See, I brought it back to the thing we were talking about. Nailed it.
You did it.
I love you brought it all back. That's an experienced podcasting move right there. You're a veteran of this format.
I know, right? I just
he better so be. He does like seven.
I think I just watched Josh Bell kind of home run out of the Philly stadium, and I didn't even verbally make a noise. So professional podcaster. Yeah.
I did.
Professional podcaster. Fantastic stuff here. All right. Well, listen, we're going to wrap this episode of the podcast up. But first, we'll get to the final thoughts. Justin, any final thoughts from you?
I'm just going to redirect people to the Dirty Inning. Got a great new episode up right now about the 1926 Phillies. It's a lot of fun. It's a great podcast for those days when you're very frustrated with the current Phillies. Like it's always, even for people like us who complain constantly, it's always comforting to know there's a baseball game on at 7:05. I don't know if I can explain that, and I don't know if I have to. Obviously, everyone listening to this is a baseball fan and probably a Phillies fan. But if you find yourself in one of those situations where you're just like, I just can't do it with this team today. Like, I've had a bad enough day. I don't need to turn on this team. The Dirty Inning is a great substitute. You know, it's just a great podcast. It's not going to be really about the current team. It's just going to be a fun story. And we've got a great new episode up right now about 1926 Phillies, about umpire Bill Clem. It was a lot of fun. So give it a listen.
All right. Make sure you do that, folks. Chris, what about you? Any final thoughts?
Conversely, but also kind of the same. If you're fed up with this team and you feel like you just can't take it, but you can't tune out like me, then tune in to Absolutely Hammered, where we get to yell and curse a lot. I was very well behaved today. Anyway, my final thoughts, overall are.
Go ahead.
Please let it be a good trade deadline. That's my final
I was going to say, is Chris, I want to wait till Chris's feed catches up to the back-to-back triples and Andrew McCutchen clutching at his calf.
Yeah, that was me losing train of thought.
Pretty cool.
Spencer Howard ran through the Nationals 1-2-3 in the first three innings, and he comes out in the fourth inning. His first three fastballs in the fourth inning, according to Tim Kelly, were 88 miles an hour, 91 miles an hour, and 92 miles an hour. So there you
How
go,
does this
friends.
Happen? If I can drive as fast as your fastball, it's not very fast, frankly.
Forget everything I said about Spencer Howard.
I have an additional final thought.
He has not figured it out.
I think Josh Harrison's beard is fake, frankly.
I always thought Jose Bautista's was.
I think he
on.
Straps that thing on before every game. Frankly, now that I see that up close,
like a mall Santa.
Just, yeah, exactly. Just no way that's real.
John's been trying to end this episode for 10 minutes.
I have to go. My children need to go to bed. Shut up already.
It's 3-0 now.
I have more thoughts about whose facial hair is fake and not.
Oh. And the athletic trainer is coming out to the mound to see Spencer Howard. So we're going to leave it right there, folks. That's what we call a cliffhanger here in the podcast industry. So you're going to have to tune to your local Phillies beat writer to figure out what happened at the end of this episode. But, folks, that's going to do it for episode 490. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Chris, for joining me on the podcast. And, friends, I want to tell you to tell your friends about the Good Fight podcast feed, but do you really want them to listen about the Phillies?
Do
so
you
just tell
really
them to
have
download
friends?
It, and they don't have to listen. That's right. Do you really?
And if you did, would you do that to them?
So that's true. You're not really much of a friend if you're telling them to listen to a Phillies podcast, but you'd be our buddies if you just ask them to download the podcast for us. It helps out on all those funny little podcast numbers. And check out the Hitting Season Patreon. We got lots of good fun stuff over there. Patreon.com/Hitting Season. Check out the Dirty Inning. You can listen about old bad Phillies teams, and at least you'll get a laugh out of that. All right, folks, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time here on Hitting Season.